Okay. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. He shall exalt you to inherit the land. From our greeting this morning in Psalm 37. I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to move upon each of us today. Each and every one of us. And I believe we're going to feast on the Holy Word of God. I want you to have that same expectation, that the Holy Spirit will move upon you individually and all of us corporately. And I believe each of us will receive exactly what we expect. As I said last week, God's Word holds the keys to eternal life, and it's my job to unlock the treasures and share them with you. And this is the second message in the series that I've drawn from the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I believe that we're going to learn Christ's will for His church, including us here. Today we'll look at the message to the church of Ephesus. This was a collection of congregations that met throughout the city of Ephesus. It was called the Church of Ephesus, the body of believers, the one congregation of many congregations. As I said, I believe we're going to learn Christ's will for His church. The message to the Church of Ephesus can be received by all believers from the time of Christ's ascension all through until He returns. I trust that we'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice and that we'll receive His guidance and His advice in His counsel today from this message that is so old and yet very fresh if we look at it in terms of ourselves. I hope we'll accept Christ's assessment of this church, will listen to His words of warning and respond positively to Him. And my goal is to have the truth come to life in each and every one of us as we move forward in His timeline toward eternity future. In the end, I want you, each and every one of you, to be among those who eat from the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And that's written in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. It's the final verse in the seven verses that we'll read today. And if you will, please open your Bible to the second chapter of Revelation. We're going to begin at verse 1 and read through verse 7. Revelation chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 and reading through verse 7. And that's where it's written. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says He who holds the seven stars in His right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I pray that God would add His blessing to the reading and the hearing of His Word today. These things says He who holds the seven stars in His right hand. You may recall, these stars aren't those dangly little things that hang from people's ceilings. These are suns. They're bright lights. They're powerful, they're mighty, and yet Christ holds them in His hand. Christ holds those who project the light, such as your pastor, in His hand. Christ controls those who bring forth the light. These aren't John's words. These aren't John's imaginations, as I said last week. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is unveiling something hidden. This illuminates truth and knowledge for those who will take a look at it. I want us to learn from this message to apply what it discloses. I want us to receive what it reveals to each of us specifically. It's clearly stated in the beginning of this revelation that a blessing is to be received by those who read and who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, because the time is near. And they were writing that 2,000 years ago. Remember that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The time is near. In God's timeline, the time is near. Clearly stated. I want us to receive that blessing that is promised here. I want us to read and to hear and heed the things that are written here. The time of Christ's return is near. Message is for the whole church, all who profess Christ, ever since He was here until He returns. Every eye will see Him, and His second coming is no secret. That's what He said. I'm giving you the background on where we started with this message. All of us can accept the Lordship of Christ and give and proclaim glory and dominion to Him forever and ever. This message to the Church of Ephesus can be received by all of us. This isn't some stuffy old history lesson. This is about us today. It's about God's people. We can accept Christ's message to His church as a message of love, even if it brings correction. Remember, it is Christ who does the convicting. The Holy Spirit of Almighty God will convict your heart. If there's any error in you, ask Him to do that. And then repent of it. Heed what the church is hearing from Christ. Remember, God chastens those whom He loves. The message to the church of Ephesus begins with a depiction of that mighty king. As I said, He holds the 7 stars in His hand. And it's written in Scripture that Almighty God promised never to leave or forsake His followers. It was foretold in Zechariah, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee." Do we see Christ in the midst of us? He says He's there. Wherever two or more are gathered, He says, "There I am in the midst." And that's written in Matthew 18 and verse 20. Christ's in the midst of the churches, not just in the midst of His people individually, but corporately. He's the King of all kings. He's in the midst of the churches. He holds the pastors in His hand. He's in control of His churches. That picture of Christ is one of power. It's one of might. It's not the picture of the lowly shepherd anymore. It's not the picture of that one who walked in Jerusalem as a carpenter. It's not the picture of the one from Nazareth who was born as a baby. This is the picture of the King of Kings. He is the King over all kings. He's the pastor over all pastors. He's the elder over all elders. He's the senator over all senators. He's the congressman over all congressmen. He's the president over all presidents, whether they like it or believe it or not. He's the first and the last. He was dead and He's alive and He's coming again. And that's what's written. And if you believe in Him, you need to believe in that. In Revelation 2:2, we read, "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. You've tested those who say they're apostles and not, and have found them liars." Christ praises their good works. They're laboring in His work. He praises their patient endurance in the work of the gospel. Christ praises them for their intolerance of evil also. "I know your works," He said. "I know you've tested those who say they're apostles, but they're not." This is grace in action. This is God's grace in action. Anything that's outside of God's definition or God's design or God's standards is evil. Christ praised them for their intolerance of evil. God's amazing grace that compels this kind of action. Has Christ changed? The evil ones that pretended to be apostles of Christ were not tolerated, and this pleased our Lord. Has He somehow wiped out His truth? Somehow in today's church, are we to ignore the evil? Is He including every form of evil in the church? Is it acceptable now? You better read what's written in Hebrews 13:8. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And if this is true, then his expectations of me and of you are still the same today as it was then. He placed those expectations on those people and he praised them for it. If he's not changed and he's still pleased with what pleased him in the church of Ephesus. Can you agree with me on that? If he was pleased then, would he be pleased today? We stand against evil. He's still pleased with their works and their labor and their patience that they can't bear with those who are evil, then he'd still be pleased with us. Still pleased when we test those who say they're apostles and not and find them to be liars. If he was pleased with them at that time for doing that, then he would be pleased with us. We're called to it. The pretenders are liars. You know what's written about liars? Written in Revelation 21:8, they have their place in the lake which burns with fire, along with the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. Christ called them liars. They were false apostles. They weren't true believers. The fate of those who pretend to be Christ's followers isn't eternal life. It's eternal dying. If it pleased Christ that His church, His people, stand in the truth and discern liars, what ought we to do as His followers? And I know this makes us all uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable even delivering the message. But this is the Word of God. The goal is salvation of souls. It's not just to let people come alongside of us and say that they're believers when they're not. We need to point out the Word of God to them. And I'm not saying to take them deliberately and say, oh, you're not living in the Word of God. But to bring the Word of God in its fullness and not to ignore the truth. He wrote this letter to you today. Would he praise your works? Would he praise your labor, your patience, your discernment of evil? Ask yourself those questions. Would he be pleased with your lifestyle? Would he be pleased with your habits? Because he's giving this message to the church of Ephesus, it doesn't exclude us. If it wasn't for us, it wouldn't be in the Bible. He wouldn't have saved it. The goal is salvation of souls. Christ wants none to perish, but that all would come to repentance. In Revelation 2:3, we read of their perseverance and again, their patience. And this is important, folks. Why is it repeated? I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. And then he repeats, that he knows their perseverance and their patience again. Patience is important. To be patiently waiting upon the Lord is important. Even when things aren't working right in our lives, we need to be patiently waiting upon the Lord. This is God's amazing grace in action. Once again, the patience of the saints. The body of believers continues to live by Christ's holy standards. That's the patience of the saints. That's the grace of God in action. We proclaim the gospel, even against opposition by those who pretend to be followers but are liars. Our Lord's pleased by perseverance and patience. These are evidence of God's transforming grace in the true believer's life. We persevere and we're patient. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're fashioned by the Holy Ghost into the image of Christ for all to see. We're living testimonies of God's power. We're living testimonies of God's work in this world even today. And so let us ask ourselves if we're truly determined to live as Christ taught and we're willing to persevere in His teaching. He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. In other words, you follow what He taught. And this is Christ teaching the churches. He says, I really appreciate your patience. I appreciate your perseverance. Even when things get tough, I appreciate that. This is a good thing. And I have to ask, are we patiently waiting for His return regardless of life circumstances? If Christ were to write a letter to us, would He praise us for our perseverance? Would He praise us for our patience? Would He be pleased with the way that we heed His teaching? And these are just reflection questions, folks. After praising them for the positive aspects of the church of Ephesus, he also pointed out something that displeased him. And we can't look at this text without looking at that. It's hard to look at it, but we have to. He said, nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love. It's a figure of speech that refers to conjugal love, the kind of love between a man and his wife. Intimate love. And Christ is saying, you left your first love. You're not committed. You're sharing this love with somebody else. All through Scripture, the Lord calls His people Israel whores because they left their first love. This is Christ saying, you can't do this. You've got to turn away from that. You've got to come back to your first love. These days, we must check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. Are we loving anything or anyone more than Almighty God? Where are our affections? Are they on our cars or our houses? Are they on our trucks or our whatever else we own? Are we loving money, that money we earn? Are we loving our bank accounts because they're growing? Or our savings accounts or our investment accounts? Dangerous ground. Is our highest affection on our family or our friends more than God? We're not to hate our families, but we're not to love them more than God. I had to go through learning about this. That's why I included it there. Only you can answer the Holy Spirit's prompting. Do we love entertainment or entertainers of the world more than God? How many people are sitting home with a television playing right now? Instead of hearing the Word of God. You know, the Holy Spirit will point it out, but the question becomes, will you heed that still small voice and follow the advice of Christ? He'll convict us. He'll convict each and every one of us. If Christ were to write this brief letter to you, would He say you've left your first love? And if He said you left your first love, would He say somewhat? Or would He say completely? Be honest with yourself and allow God's Spirit to bring light into your heart, because He will. The next thing we find in His letter to the church of Ephesus is His advice and His warning. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Repent, and unless you repent, I'm going to take the light away from you. You're no longer going to be a procurer of the light. You're no longer going to be bringing the message of Christ. You're no longer going to have the power of God working with you. This is the message of Christ to the church of Ephesus. And you know what happened to the church of Ephesus? Christ took away their light within 2 centuries after this letter was written, because they fell into paganism. The Roman church took over. And what happened? Oh, we had lots of councils there, and they changed this, and they changed that, and they changed the other thing. The Romans infiltrated. God's constant message throughout His Word and all through time is this message. Stop your sinning, turn from evil, get away from idols, and love God supremely. Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. What's the warning to those who refuse? The Ephesian church was warned. Repent or Christ will take away the light. They fell into idolatry and paganism, and that Spirit of God left. And Ephesus dried up. It was completely abandoned by the 15th century. No longer even a city of Ephesus. Christ warned them. And so I ask, can we hear His warning to all churches even today? Can we hear His warning even today? If He wrote to you today, if this letter were written to you, would you heed His warning? Just ask yourself that. Can we hear His praises to St. John's for standing in the truth? Because we stand in the truth. Can we hear Him saying, I praise you for this? Can we also hear Him saying, I've got this against you? Can we hear His warning if we refuse to heed His call? His warning's there. It's all of us, folks. It's not just to that church at that time. After reproving them for leaving their first love, He praised them again for hating the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And I explained this in a previous message. The Nicolaitans were the ones that came after Nicholas, who was saved, we find in Acts. and Nicholas was bringing pagan worship into Christian gatherings. But they hated that. And I have to say, let us never allow paganism to rule in St. John's. Let's make sure we never allow that. So this is something God hates. Remember the truth of Christ and worship Almighty God only. You know, our Lord wrapped up His message by instructing those who could hear to listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. His wrap-up was directed to one church, the Church of Ephesus. But this would have been multiple congregations, not just one place, not just one congregation. And it's also a message for every church. Can you hear what the Spirit of the Lord says to the churches today? The same message. Spirit tells the churches that those who overcome will be given to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. This is a picture of everlasting life, the way that God intended it to be. This is the eternal paradise, eternal bliss in the presence of our Creator, and a love relationship that never ends. Have that love relationship that never ends. We won't turn from our first love. This is where we'll serve willingly as His people who adore Him and no other. We'll love one another as He created us to love one another. We will be in the fulfillment, the absolute fulfillment of what God wanted for us from the beginning. Love one another. In Revelation 21:4, it's written, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Is anybody here looking forward to that? Because I know I certainly am. I want to see that day. And I want to see each and every one of you there. I don't want any to perish. Just as the Lord. I want all to come to repentance. And if there be any wayward way in you, allow the Holy Spirit to convict you. And don't get mad at the pastor because he brings the message. Take the message home. Digest it. Receive what the Word of God says. And accept what God says. Hey, John, you need to straighten out here. This is for you. And as He speaks to you, allow Him to do that. Allow Him to work on you. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's written in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. So I'll end by reminding you to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And live. Live in that Spirit. Live in the Spirit of loving God completely. Set aside those things that get in the way. Do those things that please God. It's not by the works that you do that you're saved, but we know God is pleased by the works of the churches because He writes it in His Word. He tells us He's pleased by your perseverance. He's pleased by your patience. He's pleased by your good works. Let God's Word stimulate discovery and learn to apply this knowledge in your life. And let's allow the letters to the angel of the churches to bring change and growth as we receive His truth in love. And that's the way we live our lives, in love with God and loving one another. And there's a difference. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we move forward in Your will and Your way, let us hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and let us heed what is written. Not just hear it, Lord, but respond positively. Let us hear what the Spirit says, and let us be Your people. Let us turn our eyes upon Jesus as we're about to sing. I pray in Christ's name. And all God's people said, Amen.